BadQuaker.com audio article for Friday, June 10th, 2011, read by Ben Stone. Side note to today's article. The following article was the first article that was published at BadQuaker.com. The reason that the staff at BadQuaker.com decided to start the website with that article is because it's about how confused people can be with the concepts of anarchism. And this includes people who call themselves anarchists. And this is not condemning anyone, and this is not trying to divide anyone. It's simply pointing out that there are fundamental aspects that make a person an anarchist. And there are a lot of people who think they're anarchists who don't have the slightest clue as to what those fundamental principles are. And there are a lot of other people who hear the word anarchist and things jump into their mind that are entirely false. And when I'm saying anarchism, I'm speaking specifically of anarcho-capitalism, because pretty much every other kind of anarchism, and there are all kinds of flavors and types, but they all dissolve when you start to break them down into their fundamental core. But anarcho-capitalism is specifically what we're talking about here. So as you hear this article, consider that the point is that the vast majority of people who think they know what an anarcho-capitalist is are fundamentally confused about the basic facts. Waffle People, or Why Everything You Know About Anarchism May Be Wrong, by Ben Stone. Once upon a time, in a land not so very far away, there was a very happy kingdom called Wavels. Wavels had a wise, kind old king who was beloved by his people. The kingdom was located among steep mountains and was naturally guarded on every approach by towering cliffs. The people always felt safe since there was but one heavily guarded pass leading into Wavels, and it had never been conquered. Because of its remoteness, very few people ever visited or even knew about Wavels. One day a traveler was wandering in the mountains and came upon the pass leading to Wavels. He saw that the road was seldom used and decided it would be a good path to take and learn about new places. The traveler was a happy, healthy man, not known for his intelligence, but loved by his friends for his good cheer and his simple honesty. He made his way past the checkpoints unaccosted, since he didn't present any danger in the eyes of the guards, and once through the pass, a wide valley stretched out before him with a village in the distance. When the traveler reached the village, he spotted the town cobbler, who was in front of his shop showing off a new pair of tall black boots that he had just finished. The cobbler happened to be eating a thin rolled waffle filled with fruit and cream, and had just taken a huge bite. "What is this land, and by what name is this village known, friend?" said the traveler to the cobbler. The cobbler, with his mouth still occupied with his lunch, said, "It's Wavels." The traveler misunderstood the man to say waffles, and assumed he had not been clear with his question. Not the treat, the land, my friend. What's the name of this land, this kingdom?" Again, the cobbler tried to speak with food in his mouth.
"Wavels, kingdom of Wavels, and the land of Wavels."
Unfortunately, having never heard the word Wavels, the traveler assumed the man was saying waffles. "Funny name for a village or a land," the traveler mumbled, and again, with his stuffed mouth, the cobbler said,
"It is our dear king's name as well, good King Wavels, rest his soul."
But at this point, the traveler was only half listening. He had spotted an old lady drawing water from a well, and decided to try to engage a conversation with someone who didn't have a mouthful of food. Now, it just so happened that the day before, the good king had died, and as was the custom, the new king wouldn't be crowned until after the old king was cremated. The traveler walked up to the old woman at the well and asked, "Dear woman, can you help me? I'm confused about this king of yours and your land." The old lady shook her head and said, "Bless him, the king's not living. Don't you know?" The traveler was more confused than ever. "Here now, I'm confused. Am I to understand your king is a waffle?" She almost laughed at his foreign pronunciation. "Our king is a waffle. He was the son of a waffle, and the next king will be a waffle as well." So, having completely misunderstood every bit of information that had been passed to him, the traveler filled his jug with water and bought some provisions and began to leave the land of Wavels, or Waffles, as he understood it to be. As he left town, he noticed strands of black cloth hanging from windows and from eaves. Odd, he hadn't noticed that before. Looking up the hill, he spotted the castle with black flags waving at every parapet. Just down the hill a bit, people were stacking wood in a great mound. The traveler stood gawking for a moment, trying to take in what he saw, when another villager said to him,
"Makes a fellow want to cry, don't it?"
What's that?" said the traveler.
"Well, it's just that I love the old man. I hate to see them burn him like that. I know it's the way, but it doesn't seem proper to me, is all. I just hate to see him burn."
"They burn their elderly?" thought the traveler. "I must leave this land with all haste." After some time, the traveler made it back to his own land and to his own village. Day after day, he would go to the local pub and tell the stories of his travels. Exotic, faraway lands with strange animals, people of different skin tones and various cultures, strange foods and odd spices, interesting buildings were described in every detail by the traveler. But the one story that always finished the night, the one everyone waited for, after a long hours of talk and drink, was the story of the Waffle People. Everyone loved the story of the Waffle People. These odd folk that waved black flags and wore big black boots and euthanized the old, and they ate waffles, but they not only ate waffles, they sat a waffle on a throne and bowed to him as their king. Talk about these strange people would continue even after the traveler gave up for the night and went home. Late at night, with more and more drinks flowing, the story of the Waffle People would grow and take on new oddities, and the story would twist in every direction as others would say they, too, had heard of the Waffle Land and these strange Waffle People and the Waffle on a Throne. As the traveler aged, his memory slipped, and more he relied on the folks at the pub to help him with his stories. Eventually, the old gent passed on, but the story of the Waffle People continued to grow. Yes, it was known that in Waffle Land, everyone wore big black boots. Men and women alike wore these boots. Actually, men and women dressed alike, all in black from their heads to their toe. In the midst of these wild speculations, someone pointed out that pirates on the high sea often use black flags. Others said black flag is a sign of plague. Could it be that pirates, infected with some mind-altering plague, had taken refuge in the mountains? Eventually, specific facts about Waffle Land and the evil Waffle People became common knowledge. Namely, Waffle People were a race descended from pirates infected by an illness that twists the mind. They lived in a village where every house was made of waffles. They'd kill off their old as soon as they reached the age of 30 years. The only food they eat is waffles, and they drink a strange brew made of waffles and the ashes of their dead elders. They worship an idol of their god king, the Great Waffle, set in a huge black hall covered in black tapestries. Only one man has ever set foot in Waffle Land and come out alive, and he was driven to madness and drank himself to death over what he saw there. As new generations heard and passed on the lore of the Waffle People, different people reacted in different ways. An odd little traveling holy man ranted about the evils of waffles in general. Teenagers took to wearing black garb. Black boots became all the rage among the young. Mothers worried about their children, and old men talked about how the waffles were corrupting society. Watchmen at night would occasionally sound the alarm, thinking they had seen a waffle lurking in the darkness. Now, to be honest, some people knew that this whole Waffle Land was a huge misunderstanding. The local magistrate often laughed at the silly, uneducated hordes with their foolish superstitions. He and the high priest discussed how handy it was to have the waffles around. For example, when it was found that the coinage had been debased and only worth about a third of its perceived value, it wasn't hard for the village to believe that the Waffles were working among them to rob them of their wealth with counterfeit coins. Of course, the magistrate solved the problem by confiscating all the coins and replacing it with official script. Then there was the time that the cathedral was robbed of the relief fund that had been gathered for the poor. Anyone could see the hand of the Waffles in such a deed. It was a good thing that the magistrate stepped up with the emergency relief tax. Otherwise, the poor would have starved that winter. For the protection of the village, some new laws were enacted. First and foremost, no wearing of boots or any black cloth. No making or buying, selling, or possessing waffles or waffle-making devices. And lastly, worship of the Great Waffle was strictly forbidden under penalty of death. Even with these carefully crafted laws, things seemed to be getting worse and worse. Young people began openly defying authority, wearing their black boots and even waving black flags. Sometimes groups of young wafflers would knock over waste bins and set haystacks on fire. It was about this time another of the villagers decided he wished to travel and see strange places. Traveling from place to place, he was careful to avoid the Black Pass that was the legendary entrance to Waffle. After a while, he decided to return home, so taking the most direct route, he came almost too near to the entrance of the pass. And there he saw an old man pushing a wagon in the direction of the evil pass, so he shouted at him, "Hey there, stop! What? Are you a stranger to these lands? Worse than death awaits you if you go on that road." The man stopped and asked, "Here now, of what do you speak?" The traveler told the tale to the old fellow, faithful to all the details that he was so sure of. "What silly nonsense, young man. How did you come to have such notions?" The traveler explained again the evils of these waffle people. "I'm telling you that's nonsense. First off, it's not waffles, it's wavels. I happen to be a wavel on my mother's side and live there near half my life." But the traveler would hear none of it. In his mind, he knew what he believed was right, and no matter what the old man said, it wouldn't change what the traveler believed. Well, this has been a long story, and you're likely asking yourself why you've read this far. If you're a libertarian or consider yourself an anarcho-capitalist, you've likely already seen the comparison. Then again, maybe it's not so obvious. When a liberty-loving anarchist or libertarian talks to pretty much anyone outside of our movement, we can almost be certain they have a preconceived notion of who we are and what we stand for that's every bit as wrong and twisted as the picture painted of the Waffles by the fools in the story above. Terminology has systematically been twisted by a combination of ignorance, happen chance, and the concentrated efforts of evil people so that we're virtually guaranteed to be misunderstood by the hordes. Lies abound, and accusations of assassinations, wars, bombings, and mayhem have all been falsely attributed to us, and these lies have been told so often and with such conviction that some of us have even believed them at times. Sadly, the vast majority of Americans today have no interest in learning the truth about us or about liberty, and many who say they're with us are only in it for the cool boots. After all, at the moment, we're a bit of a fashion craze. But that will pass with time, and we'll simply be misunderstood again soon. This is the ethical foundation that all of liberty is based on. The philosophy of non-aggression, the initiation of physical force against persons or property, the threat of such, or fraud upon persons or property, is unethical when done by a single person or by a group. Right of property. Each person is the exclusive owner of his or her body, life, and actions, and is exclusively responsible for their body, life, and actions. Each person owns the product of their labor, and any previously unowned resource that they acquire or improve, homestead. A person may use, improve, destroy, sell, trade, or give as a gift any item that they rightfully own. A person owns what they have homesteaded, purchased, traded for or were rightfully given as a gift. When a person violates the non-aggression principle, they forfeit their right of property pursuant to their act of aggression. Law. The non-aggression principle, coupled with the right of property, are the only true law. It seems odd that people with such a simple philosophy would endure so much ignorant abuse by those who believe what they're told rather than seek the truth. For more articles and podcasts on liberty, the zero aggression principle, and property rights, go to badquaker.com. And thank you for listening.